It's time for the Observation Deck on this Friday morning with Gordo, brought to us by Tylock George Eye Care.
So one of my questions is, why is it Steven who's doing most of the talking now? Why aren't they evening out the time and then transitioning into Steven being the spokesperson?
How long have you been watching Jerry?
long enough for him to be 90 years old now.
Right.
So
I think that's why. I think because he's 82 and he's getting every ounce,
squeezing every last second of
yes
of press conference coverage he can yes. get.
It's funny, we were talking about this on the air. I thought that in recent media opportunities, Jerry had sounded sharper, like maybe during training camp, but that was rough yesterday.
Really rough.
Was every bit of those 82 years showing and sounding like it. It was tough.
Had you guys heard anything about Micah being not so great in the locker room, or was he always had a sterling reputation in the locker room?
Oh, no. It was definitely not sterling. One of the writers this morning described him as more respected than beloved in the locker room, and I think that's accurate. And, for example, DeMarcus Lawrence, who was a leader on this team, he was the leader on the defense for the last few years. He and Micah did not get along. He didn't like Micah at all. So, no, I don't think Micah was a good locker room guy, and I think that's why Jerry this offseason was saying we need Micah to be a leader now.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry even brought that up in the press conference.
I think whenever you have a guy who is as outspoken as Parsons is, maybe that's not even the right word to use. I mean, he uses media in a very modern way. His voice is always out there, and I think that's going to rub some guys the wrong way. I would love to know, and I don't know the answer to this, what Dak Prescott really thinks of Micah Parsons, to be honest with you. I mean, Dak has said all the right things during this training camp and this contract dispute that Micah has had. But I've always suspected that maybe there was a little something there. I don't know that, but I think Craig put it accurately when he said that Parsons universally respected as a player, obviously, for obvious reasons, but had some work to do as a leader, but again, still a pretty young guy in that regard.
So is there any way that this is actually a decent move by Jerry, or is it too crazy? If it's coming from Jerry, we know it's a bad move, just by definition.
It's a fair question. I would say it's most likely a bad move, but if Kenny Clark turns out to be an incredible run stopper and their run defense goes from 29th to 12th, and he's the reason, and then these two first-round picks that they get end up being great players, and Micah goes to Green Bay and his play slips, then it looks like a good trade.
But then at that point, don't we Cowboy fans, don't we pivot and say that a lot of this move was probably inspired by Jimmy Johnson? So it's really Jimmy should get credit for it.
You know, have to break right for the Cowboys, obviously, for this to even be a decent move. And I don't think it's unfair to blast it now, knowing what we know now. I'm 2-3 years down the road, maybe our tune changes.
Yeah, and let me say, everything I just laid out, the odds of each one of those happening are slim. The odds of all four of those happening are very slim. Very slim.
Micah Parsons drop off.
I would say that's highly unlikely. I think he's going to equal his season sack total in week 4 against the Cowboys.
Might not like the cold weather. Tends to fall off late in the season. When's he ever played in cold other than at Penn State for all those years? Yeah.
Right.
The Jimmy thing, though. That's
you watch. There will be some people say that. Well, yeah, I mean, they'll say things like, well, even a blind hog finds an acorn every once in a while, you know. That if Jimmy did this and it was good, I mean, if Jerry did this and it was good, well, he lucked into that one. If this turns out to be decent.
I mean, it's a lot like...
We can't hear you. Mic's off.
Sorry, it's a lot like Luka, because Micah and Luka are generational talents that have warts. They're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Luka didn't play defense and wasn't in shape all the time and, you know, cost his team on the court a lot because he was arguing with refs. Micah has a sulking side to him, Micah didn't show up big in playoff games. Micah wasn't beloved in the locker room. You know, all this drama with Jerry. So they're very similar, same age, both unbelievably talented, but both have these warts. And there are some people in this town that were fine with seeing both of them go.
I will say this. It's going to be more difficult to gauge how this affects the Cowboys than it was to gauge how Luka affected the Mavericks, just because of the nature of the two sports.
Yeah.
And, you know, five guys on the court at a time as opposed to, you know, a football team. Because I don't know how much worse the Cowboys are really going to be immediately. We said this in the last segment. Their defense was going to have struggles anyway.
Right.
To me, this season wasn't going to come down to how effective the defense was. It was going to come down to how explosive Dak can be with that offense as he came back. So maybe it's going to be a little difficult to accurately judge this thing for a while, but early reviews are not good.
But at least with this Micah deal, we've had a whole lot of drama run up to the actual thing. Unlike the Luka deal, where you wake up in the morning and wait, what?
Yeah,
that was a Pearl Harbor type day. It
yes.
was a surprise.
Micah demanded a trade.
Right.
Luka thought he was a Maverick for life.
Uh huh.
And I still think there's got to be a big part of Micah that hates the fact that this happened, in spite of the fact that he demanded the trade. Just a guy who valued the cachet of being a Cowboy the way that he did. And I still think that's a thing, in spite of the fact that we're in an era now where every player can be an independent contractor in terms of the way they promote themselves through social media and all that. And he's going to go to a better team. He's going to go to an immediate Super Bowl contender probably now. But I think deep down, Micah knows that it's not exactly the same, and he's going to have to figure out a new way to market himself now.
All right, so that happened. There's a few more exits that we need to talk about because I swore to you I was going to update you on this. Remember when we heard that there was going to be a shakeup at Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
The program that's been on for like 180 years?
Mm-hmm.
So they did let a few people go, including one Texan from the cast. So Heidi Gardner is leaving.
They let her go?
They let her go.
She was in every sketch.
I know, after an 8-season run. And then the other people, she's 42 now. So she's getting to the high end of the age people were when they were on that show.
Right.
But Michael Longfellow also leaving. Emil Joachim leaving. And Devin Walker, who's from Texas, is leaving.
I don't think I know those last three, and I watch that show every week.
I think Devin... He was only on there for 3 seasons.
Oh,
but
I know.
He would
Devin.
Do Michael Strahan,
yes.
Van Jones,
yeah.
New York Mayor Eric Adams imitated him as well.
Yeah, okay, he was good.
I heard you talking about this the other day. Does Saturday Night Live hurt itself? I'm going to give Lauren Michael some advice here in case he's listening. By having such a huge cast,
yes, I think so.
Because there's just so many anonymous.
Yeah.
I mean, I know who Heidi Gardner is, but the name didn't immediately trigger
right.
that for me. I know who she is because I think she's pretty talented. I think they'll miss her. But
why did you say
these,
pretty talented with your two hands held up in front of your
I
chest
didn't.
Like that?
That was a drop, but it doesn't make any sense. But anyway, the size of the cast, I think, in some ways has hurt that show.
Yes, I agree with you. Because you can't churn the cast when people are just now learning all the cast members that
right.
you have. It's you can only have... And they started off with, what, like 6 back in the day that... revered first mm-hmm. cast everyone goes crazy over that I don't
oh whoa
I mean happy yeah. birthday to them.
So Gordon wasn't part of the cast, so.
John Belushi, Dan Aykroyd,
he was great. Dan Aykroyd was great.
Belushi wasn't.
God, Belushi
was
good.
Was great.
He's gonna rip Gilda Radner, who died young. Yeah. Go ahead, Gordon.
I know everyone loves Gilda Radner.
Oh,
wow.
I just acknowledged that everyone
now.
Loves her. Why is that
wow.
wrong? Why is it wrong that I acknowledge that?
May she rest in peace.
Yes, I agree. Same with Belushi. May he rest in peace.
Jane Curtin was great.
Okay. I'm taking your word for it. I'm here taking your word for it, and you're getting mad at me.
The moral of this story at 6:30 on a Friday morning is that Gordon Keith doesn't think women can be funny.
Whoa! Back to you, Gordon. I am the guy who's on the radio constantly saying the exact opposite of that, mm-hmm. sir. Mm-hmm. I've attacked people who said that women aren't funny.
Constantly saying the exact opposite.
That is true.
I've never heard you say that.
Women are incredibly funny. I just wish that Saturday Night Live had gotten a couple in those first few years.
Boy.
Okay, that was just a joke because it's an easy opportunity. But I'm just saying it just seems like people go crazy over that first cast, where I thought some later casts were absolutely as talented as that first cast.
I would agree, but that doesn't mean the first cast
wasn't. Well, then start attacking yourself.
No, but that doesn't mean the first cast wasn't talented. You were Mang the first cast.
I just didn't understand people acting like they were this is the Beatles of comedy. Okay.
Nostalgia does kick in. There's no doubt about it. Because when you're like me in high school and somebody's, you know, calling somebody an ignorant slut on television, you're just like, wow.
Oh, that's so great. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so you like
that. All the time, but you can't say no.
I would say Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd, John Belushi were as talented a threesome as any other threesome.
I'll Chevy Chase, yes, and Dan Aykroyd, yes. But
and is that the last time Chevy Chase was really funny in his career?
No, he was funny in his movies.
Okay,
he did fall off like Mike is about to do in Green Bay.
Okay.